You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. Now, in this sight loss charity, RNIB's 150th anniversary year, we're celebrating the fact that sight loss doesn't mean the end of productive life and fun. For instance, Miles Hilton Barber grew up in Zimbabwe with normal sight, dreaming of one day becoming a fighter pilot like his father. At 18, Miles applied to join the Royal Rhodesian Air Force, but to his utter disappointment, he failed the eyesight medical. Then at 21, both Miles and his brother Jeff were diagnosed with retinitis pigmentosa, a genetic eyesight condition that would lead to total blindness for them both. For the next 30 years, Miles lived with a kind of victim mentality, believing the established thinking that blindness was a massive barrier preventing him from undertaking any adventurous exploits. At the age of 50, Miles had a wake-up call, and since then, he's had the huge privilege of setting numerous world records, undertaking extreme events across all seven continents of our world in the fields of mountaineering, desert and polar ultramarathons, powerboat racing, scuba diving, motor racing, and long-distance aerobatic and supersonic flying, amongst other achievements. What was the key to turning his life around? Well, I'm honoured to say that Miles Hilton Barber joins me now on the line. Hi, Miles.
Hello, Simon, and a big welcome to all of you listeners today.
Now, as I mentioned there, you know, people might be surprised when they know of things that you've achieved, Miles, and you go around the world, you give motivational talks and are very animated. But you had that 30 years in the wilderness. How did you turn that around?
Well, I think, Simon, initially growing up in Zimbabwe, when I learnt I was going blind, I'd never met another blind person. So I had no idea and just presumed it was a total disaster. I learned to live as a blind person with amazing, wonderful support from the RNIB when I moved over to the UK in later years. But at 50, my life turned around through my brother, Jeffrey, also totally blind. He built a yacht in his back garden by Thiel, living then in Durban in South Africa, sailed it solo to Australia, totally blind, totally alone, no one else on board. And that was my kick up the backside. The RNIB taught me I could live a fulfilled, independent life as a blind person. My brother taught me I didn't have to live within the realms of blindness. I could still be an adventurer. So he gave me the kick up the backside, said, hey, there's life beyond blindness and existing. Life is still a beautiful adventure as a blind person. And now, Simon, I can honestly say I've never been as happy or fulfilled or successful as I am today. I'm happier now as a blind man than when I could see, which, if that sounds strange to you, it's also strange to me, but in God's eyes, it's the truth.
You feel that you've reached your niche in life then?
Kind of. You know, for all of you lovely people listening, maybe some of you are losing your sight now, you know, relatives, friends. People think it's a disaster, but your quality of life does not have to change. Your life changes, but your quality of life could stay the same. As long as you've had the training, you can go through that process. I think of my sight loss having to go through a tunnel. You know, if you play Monopoly, you have to pass Go to get your £200. In the same way, a person losing their sight, you can spend years in a tunnel feeling sorry for yourself, which is what I did, having a very negative victim mentality. But the RNIB said, hey, you don't have to stay in this negative mold. RNIB taught me, they gave me mobility lessons, taught me how to use a computer, how to live independently, how to cook when the cook can't look, how to dress, how to get around. So once I had my independence back again, I had a job with the RNIB, helping other people going blind, doing assessments as an employment consultant. So I then lived an independent professional life, but still within the realms that there are limits to what blind people can do. And I suppose RNIB gave me this wonderful platform to realize, okay, you can not only be independent, but you can still have adventures. And for me, when I first went blind, I had no confidence, I had no dignity, no independence. I thought that was a rubbish life ahead. And, you know, society, friends, that was the basic idea. If you're blind, oh, it's a bad thing. I've now travelled to 73 countries around the world, speaking about my life. No country, no people there think that blindness is a good thing. I say to these great big audiences, blindness good or bad? Oh, it's bad. So I just believed the limitations that society put on me. And the RNAB, just a wonderful organization, and through Connect Radio, just allowing people to realize that if you go through that tunnel and getting back to that thing, if you've got friends and family, maybe yourself going through sight loss, don't sit there feeling sorry. Learn mobility skills, how to use a computer, how to use a smartphone. And age isn't a barrier. RNAB is teaching people in their 80s how to use, you know, modern technology. Get onto Connect Radio for your elderly relatives or friends. Give them a smart speaker if they haven't got a television. If they have a television, you can tune them in. So my life lesson, things that I've learned, is that, oh, blindness is a challenge, but it's not a barrier or a handicap. It does not have to be a bad thing. And I'm just got huge gratitude to the RNAB for picking me up, dusting me off and saying, hey, there's light at the end of the tunnel. It may not be physical light, but it's a light full of fulfillment and adventure. And I am, in a very small way, just proof that if you pick up the phone to the RNAB support helpline, say, look, this is my situation. My father, my mother, my uncle, sitting, you know, feeling sorry for themselves. There's talking books. There's access to sport, all sorts of things. And I'm just full of gratitude and congratulations to RNAB 150 years of changing thousands and thousands of lives.
Now, when we go back to when you were 21 and your dream was to be an aviator, well, it was to be a fighter pilot, but you've kept that dream. And you did undertake a 55-day, 21,000-kilometre microlight flight from London to Sydney. Now, you actually keep the dream alive.
Yes, it makes me laugh thinking about it. See, my brother, when he sailed to Australia, solo blind, I flew over to Fremantle, met him. I thought, what is the difference? We're two blind brothers. Me, I've got a victim mentality. My brother has just set an amazing world record that still stands today. And I thought, what's the difference? And my brother said, the difference is you are focusing on your blindness. What can a blind man do? What can a blind man do? And I'm feeling sorry for myself. He said, I'll tell you what a blind man can do. Shut up, you know, stop going on about your blindness. Focus on your dreams, your goals, what you want to do, which sounded stupid because I thought, well, I want to be a pilot. He says, no, go back to England where I live now and be a pilot. So I thought, okay, now I'm starting with a goal. I'm going to be a pilot. It's very different from saying I'm blind, therefore I can't do this, I can't do that. So how do pilots, commercial pilots, they have to learn to fly blind on instrument. I thought, hey, I'm blind, I'm half qualified. What else have I got to do? So all the flight instruments, Simon, that a sighted pilot sees, that is information going into his eyes, into his brain. I had a brain, couldn't get the information in there through my eyes, but we now know with technology, you can use Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, VGA, HDMI. So I thought, use my ears. So all of that information translated into speech goes into my headphones. So I learned to fly using my ears, not my eyes. Different and not as easy, but possible. And as you say, I had 55 days, most amazing adventure flying to Australia. Had a sighted co-pilot with me because I'm not recognized as a pilot, even though I'm fully qualified. We call it discrimination. And, you know, I'd love to be a commercial pilot with BAE, Qantas, KLM. No one will give me a chance, but I've applied to one other airline and I'm hoping to have another telephone interview. They called Ryanair. So anyway, that's a bit of a joke. Of course, it's not true. But the lovely thing is that it's amazing what you can achieve as a blind person. Start with what you want to do. So I've done skydiving, scuba diving, motor racing, mountaineering. I hold the lap record on the Malaysian Grand Prix circuit. I do drag racing. So if you start with what you want to do and then figure out, okay, I'm blind, how can I do things different? Now, for most of you listening, the good news is that there's a lot of things that blind people have already done, as some of the things I've mentioned. So the good news is you don't have to try something that no one has ever done before. There's just so many opportunities for blind people to have adventures. But some people criticize me, saying I want to be the first blind man to manhaul a sledge to the South Pole. And I said, well, I'm not saying to other people go to the South Pole, but there might be an elderly lady or man or young person who hasn't got the confidence to walk across the road on their own with a long cane or a guide dog. Maybe your granny has lost her sight. If she can learn how to cook, bake a cake and invite her neighbor over from next door and say, here's my vanilla sponge, I made it myself, that is just as great an achievement as me heading to the South Pole or flying to Australia. So it's whoever you are, life still has quality. Get out there and try something you've never done before. The R&B, you know, just simple things. A blind lady, you can learn how to use makeup, how to put on your lipstick, how to put on nail polish without sight. You can coordinate your clothing with different shaped buttons and textures, you know, that the R&B can teach you about. So when I was in Zimbabwe, I'd never met another blind person, Simon. When I came to England, all of a sudden, I mean, I was ashamed using a white stick. You know, I was too embarrassed. Then I met other blind people, professionals using a white stick, guide dog, computer programmers, lawyers, solicitors, independent, happy lives. And I suddenly thought, wow, you don't have to be ashamed of being blind or embarrassed. So my encouragement is, if I can have been changed from a discouraged person staying at home, needing my wife to take me 100 yards to the shop to buy a loaf of bread, if I have now been transformed and I wanted to climb Everest, I've climbed Kilimanjaro, Mont Blanc, if my life has been changed from that to where I am now, through the R&AB and the support process, going through that tunnel, not staying in the tunnel, what's the next thing? Can I dress? Can I cook? Can I go down to the shop on my own? Can I use a computer? Can I use a smartphone? It's a process, but get going, and before you know it, you'll be turning around and thinking, wow, look at a new person I am, or my mum, my dad, my uncle, my aunt, my child. Very often, parents as well, with children who have lost their sight or losing their sight, are overprotective. And I've often had to talk to the parents of visually impaired children and say, let them get out there. Let them push the limits. Fulfillment is the product of achievement and not inactivity. So beware of wrapping your children in cotton wool out of love, your overwhelming love for them, and limiting their opportunity to get out there and taste victory and success and achieving new things. So without the R&AB, I'd still be wandering around with a stick, sitting at home, feeling sorry for myself. So three cheers to the R&AB. Wonderful people, wonderful training opportunities. Get a hold of it. It's there for you and your loved one.
And you're still keeping the dream alive because you still enjoy flying, don't you?
Yes. And now, when I flew to Australia, all the technology, it was in something the size of a toolbox, quite a big toolbox, Simon. Now, with drone technology, whatever, all of my flight instruments to fly in aircraft, it all fits into the size of a little sandwich box that a primary school children would take. Small little box, have a little a numpad that you would have, or using a computer, just a numpad that's velcroed onto the leg of my flying suit. And the whole box of tricks, I just line it up with a compass on the aircraft, and off I go. So if anyone is specifically interested in flying, the technology in the States, the sort of stuff I'm using, probably costs about $1,000 US. The software, a friend of mine, also totally blind, he runs his own software company. He's done all the software. So you can get in touch with me if you're interested, and I think he's happy to pass on free the software that he's designed for it. And if you're willing to spend probably about £600-700, you could have all the kit, find a local Microlite flying school, and the chances are they would love to get you up. And it's the most wonderful, independent feeling, Simon, being up. Amongst other things, I hold the high altitude record for a Microlite, not for a blind person, for anybody, at 20,300 feet, minus 55 centigrade, with little plastic cannulas up my nose, squirting oxygen up at minus 55 centigrade. Makes you want to sneeze, but a lot of fun. And, you know, life is a gift. Life is all about today. And a prayer I pray nearly every day is this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things in my life that I cannot change, the courage to change those that I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. serenity, courage, wisdom. What a way to be known. So don't bang your head against the wall trying to get your sight back again if you've lost it. For some people you can, but most you can't. So get on, have the courage to change what you can and realize that life is an adventure and the only limits in your life are the ones that you accept yourself.
Miles Hilton Barber, you are an inspiration to many people, and we wish you many more years on your adventures. Thank you so much for chatting with us.
Simon, thank you, and once again, huge thanks to Connect Radio. I love listening to you and to the RNAB. Congratulations, 150 years, and the sky's the limit. Let's keep going together. And for those of you with sight loss, or those who know people with sight loss, get out there. Quality of life is still yours to embrace and live to the full. God bless you all.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio.